Welcome, Chiefs Kingdom. There's a lot to talk about as the Chiefs get ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Little going home for Andy Reid, little revenge, little hopefully a chance to get off this night. We're going to talk about predictions, matchups, the power ranks that go into this game, as well as, you know, a new face that we're not likely to see this weekend, but you never quite know. Welcome to Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Quick and easy intro. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good. I'm finally back from vacation, and although that's not fun, I am here. So I'm hoping that this is a lot better game than last week's, and I was really kind of happy I didn't watch last week's, actually.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you might have lucked out there, but there's a lot to go into this one. This is pivotal. This is about where a team gets its attitude. We're going to talk about that in the coming after the first break, because we got to get to like this new wrinkle here. And I want to say thank you to all of you that are using us as your first listen today. Make sure you find another Locked On show for your second listen as well. You might want to check out the Locked On NFL draft. As well. That one
going out. Gee, I wonder why you say that.
Hey. but yeah. This wrinkle, I didn't think that they would go for given checkered past of being unavailable on and off through his career, but they seem very comfortable with it. I thought Andy was very much about fit in the locker room, a guy that has an attitude of working hard, and they seem very, very comfortable at this point.
Honestly, and I hate saying that word, but yeah, I'm looking at this situation and going, this makes a lot of sense for this team, because they legitimately need a number two wide receiver or a number three wide receiver, and I'm not sure which Gordon will be at this point. But the other issue is that there's no real downside here. It's all upside.
Right.
If they are going to be – I mean, he's on their practice squad right now. It's more than likely he's not going to play this week. Right. I would say it's like 99% chance he doesn't play this week, unless there's an injury where he has to play, which you hope that doesn't happen. And I would say that there's probably a 90% chance he doesn't play next week, just because I think they will ease him into it, and he's got to learn the offense, and there is a ton to learn. Yes, they can get him reps. Yes, they can get him work, but it's going to take time. So I like the signing. I do think that there is risk there in the fact that you're bringing somebody that wasn't already in the locker room, but they obviously feel like they can get something out of it, and I think it's a benefit for them.
And I think they're uniquely set up to have a support system to help Josh with, yep, whether it's the substance stuff or everything else that goes into the stress of being a player. Because you certainly, when you look at back at New England, when he was on the field, he was productive and he was an asset for those teams. So I don't think that there's any hesitation about what he can do once he is acclimated. It is about learning the role. I line up at the X predominantly and allow McColl to stay where he is in the slot for the predominant number of snaps. And that really rounds out what I think is, instead of trying to piece it together every week with what could be McColl, what could be DeMar, could be Pringle, like to who's going to be the third guy. It's interesting to see. I think this will be productive in the end.
And I think that the other thing that really sticks out to me about this signing is that they, at least from his perspective, from what I was reading from different people on social media, he looks like he looked at coming to Kansas City because he looks at this as a long-term play. He doesn't want to just be here this season. He wants to be here on a long-term basis. So that, to me, says everything you need to know. He's going to be motivated. He's going to be a guy that's going to come in and give you everything he has because he wants to be here. He wants to play with Patrick Mahomes. He wants to play with Tyreek Hill. He wants to play with Travis Kelce. He wants to be on the same team as those guys. But more importantly, he wants a long-term deal, and he thinks that he can get it here. He wants stability.
Stability is the thing, because knowing the contracts of the other two guys that would be, you know, always on the field with him in Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, the salary question is going to be there. But it gets what for him is a long-term, that's his goal. The team can get him relatively cheaply compared to another, you know, premier physical aspect at an X. That works for them as well. We have to remember he is 30 years old, so there is that little caveat out there.
Yeah, there's a ton of things to talk about when it comes to whether or not he can be here long-term. I do think that it's important to note that there are some guys that are going to be probably gone next year that are here right now, and that's going to open up some cap space. Patrick Mahomes can open up some cap space. And don't forget, they went out and tried to get a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster to come to Kansas City.
Yep.
They wanted him. And that means that they wanted to upgrade at that position and they didn't find what they could. So I do think that it's possible that they give him a long-term deal. Now, the other side of it is he's going to be working against he's going to be working against himself in a lot of ways, because if he doesn't come in and he doesn't show out and he doesn't produce, he's not going to get the long-term offer that he wants. So he has to produce. He has to be on point. And I do think the other thing is that Kansas City is a lot better place for him to be than a place that would be on the coasts, where you're going to have a little bit more temptation, or, you know, a place like Vegas where you definitely have more temptation.
Right. Yeah. Nightlife is not the goal here. So I agree with you. I think that it's a positive setup. And if he's motivated like that in order to earn a spot long-term, certainly this season, it should be a good combination. It looks like, from what Tyrann Mathieu said, that he looks good on the field for a first look. We'll see when he gets on there. He has to get elevated for the squad, activated to the 53, and then we'll find out if he's actually active on game day. So this might be a process of a couple of weeks, folks. Keep that in mind. Got plenty of fuel to burn, and if you have fuel you want to burn, we have a way that you can get some money back on it. You can get 25 cents on every gallon that you spend if you go sign up for the Get Upside app. That's on the iTunes store, Apple store, whatever store, Google, wherever you're getting your apps. I just said iTunes like it was yesterday. You can get it anywhere. And when you do, you use the code touchdown for us, and that will get you 25 cents back on every single gallon that you purchase with that app. And then on your first tank, they're going to give you a bonus 25 cents. So that's 50 cents back on every gallon of gas that you buy on your first tank. That adds up quick, especially for those of you that drive a lot. You know, for me, just going to a store or going to shop somewhere or going to Costco, good hour trip for me. So like I rack up the mileage pretty quick, and that comes in handy. Once you make that number of cents per gallon into your account, you can send it back to yourself at a bank account, PayPal, e-gift, or to Amazon or whatever you want. And all you got to do is go get that app. It's called Get Upside on any of the app stores, and use our code touchdown to get yourself a whole lot of cash back on your gasoline purchases. Now, looking for a fourth game. Like, the first quarter of the season is about to end. This is not the way that we had it going, right? And I think, why don't we start with the thing that drives me the most nuts in the ranks?
Can I say, I just want to say this really quick. I wasn't going to be shocked if they came out of this 2-2. I didn't have them losing to the Ravens. I wouldn't have had them losing to the Ravens the way they did. I would have had them probably losing to the Browns and the Chargers. So if they come out of this 2-2, I won't be upset, but they have to come out of this 2-2. Let's go ahead and look at the power rankings, since you want to talk about it.
I just want to get it out of the way, because power rankings are just,
you know, I love how this works, because you said we'll talk about this right before the predictions, and here we are, early second segment, and this is what I get to deal with, folks. Ryan just throws stuff at me, and I'm just like, okay, well, let's go.
We had a plan. I said before the predictions, but now I'm just like, you know what? Let's just get it out of the way, because this is telling in that where they are, I think, is a reaction to what they've done. And like you said, when we're talking about the first quarter, to be here in the top five, and folks, this is the power run by all of us at the Locked On Network. Yep. So this varies week to week. You can see the Chiefs fell, obviously, after a loss. That's pretty good. I find it very interesting that that the Chargers went up two spots to 12 from 14 after beating the Chiefs, and the Chiefs only fell from 3 to 5. Does that surprise you at all?
Yes. I don't get these power rankings. I honestly, I just don't get it. Like, I get the thought process after 2 weeks that if you're 1-1, you still could be in the top five. Right now, if you have a losing record after the first 3 weeks, then I have a hard time believing you could be in the top five. Kansas City hasn't played like a top five team. Right. That's the problem. If they play like a top five team, I wouldn't have an issue. But their two losses to the Ravens, who is number four, which I think is probably a little higher than they should be personally. And to the Chargers, who are 12, you know, Kansas City beat themselves. And we haven't really talked about this. I haven't got a chance to say this because I've been out, and I apologize. But Kansas City beat themselves in that game.
Yeah.
It's really what happened. And they beat themselves against the Ravens as well. So the problem is that if you can't get out of your own way, you're going to have this entire season as a waste. If they can figure out a way to get out of their own way, if they can get back to what they've been used to doing time and time again over the past couple of seasons, then you'll be in a situation where you're still probably win the division, because I'm still not sold on the Raiders. I'm not sold on the Broncos. And you still play the Chargers one more time, so you can even it up with them.
Yeah. What's intriguing to me, and am I counting this right? Yeah, I am, actually. All four AFC West teams are in the top half of these power rankings. I find that very intriguing, and I think it's a powerful division. And what tells you about this matchup is the Eagles are smack dab in the middle of the bottom half. And that's telling as well. When we start to talk about these matchups, guys that stand out and who needs to perform, what's at the very top of your list?
Who needs to perform is going to be the Chiefs defensive line. Miles Sanders shouldn't be running on you like you've had running backs running on you against the Ravens. Jalen Hurts is a guy that can hurt you with his legs, but he's not Lamar Jackson.
Right.
You should be able to stop the run in this game. You should be able to contain Jalen Hurts. And honestly, and there I go saying that word again, but this game shouldn't be close. In the end, it shouldn't be close. If Kansas City plays their game and they go in there and they play well, this game will not be close. If the game is close, it's because there are still miscommunications in the secondary, which have been an issue for the first couple of weeks. And there are still issues on defense, and the offense is still turning the ball over. And that's a huge problem. Because I will say, the Eagles do have a fantastic defensive line. So the offensive line is going to be challenged again. I don't know that they'll be challenged near as much as they were against the Browns. But the other thing that we need to look at is Orlando Brown even going to play?
That's the big question. Like,
and what do they do if he doesn't?
Well, there, right? I don't want to really think about that, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I like your crap eating grin right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he probably does play. I'm not too about it. I don't know that we're going to see Frank Clark. I know everybody's practiced as we record this. Everybody practiced today except for Rashad Fenton with the concussion protocol. We're not going to see Willie Gay. So, like, the matchup for me, if we're taking one matchup in this game, that probably would be one that I would do if I was really concerned about it. The one for me that I am concerned about is, given how poorly this defense has played to this point, it's rare that you see a rookie go off. But I feel like Devontae Smith has an actual opportunity here. The way that there's been so much miscommunication in the secondary, he's a kid that can take advantage here. And if you don't especially get a hand on him early, and that's going to be on Snead because he's going to line up in the slot a lot, you don't do that, you're going to get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, and you also have a situation where Watkins is playing well for them as well. So, I mean, you have multiple wide receivers. You have questions at the tight end position. Ertz and Goddard have played very well for them. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a problem. That could be a problem for Kansas City, covering the tight ends coming out. Covering the running back could be a problem for Kansas City. Their entire defense needs to step it up. And if they do that, then I think they'll be in good shape. But the question remains, can they step up? Because to this point, they haven't so far. So, you know, what you really want to see is you want to see the defense step up. Now, the other matchup that is going to concern me is, and I only say this because I'm questioning Orlando Brown whether or not he plays, but it's the left tackle versus anybody on the Philadelphia defensive line. If it's not Orlando Brown and you don't move Niang, which I think you would have to, I don't think you could go into that game and put Rimmers at left tackle, then that's going to be a major concern. And you're going to have to cover it up with the tight end most of the game.
Yeah, you're probably right. And chipping is loud. It's going to be necessary. We're going to get to our four keys here coming up next, but I'm getting hungry, Chris.
You're getting hungry. All right, did you have a prop of the new flavor that we just received?
I do not.
Because I think I might have a new number one.
Props require my children not eating them. That doesn't really happen.
Oh, is that really here. The way that works?
Yeah, like I have these.
You mean something like this right here?
Oh, look at that. Yeah, it's pretty. It's got like a gold foil.
It does have a gold foil on it. Did you know Built Bar has many delicious flavors? There's something there for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan like I am, and I think Ryan maybe just a tad.
Sort of.
They're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know your Built Bar flavors well, you're missing out. Coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate, And the new one that I just got, real cookie dough, and this is absolutely fantastic. This reminds me of the chocolate brownie chunk.
Ah.
So that's my new favorite flavor right now. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get two of each of the nine different flavors. I think you would have to buy the real cookie dough to get it, but trust me, it is absolutely worth it. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Check out the macros, 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180 calories, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today and go get this real cookie dough. I promise you, you will not regret it. Or raspberry, or whatever you like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Agreed. So that brings us to what are the keys? And I'll let you decide. In fact, I'll just let you first. What do you got? What's one of several keys that they have to do to win this game? Get back on track.
Don't turn the ball over. I mean, it's so obvious, but it's so true. If you don't turn the ball over, you're not going to have issue. You should not have an issue in this game.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it all boils down to.
And I hate making it that simple, but that's the reality. Don't turn the ball over.
Given the rate that they have been turning the ball over, you have to make it simple, yeah, right?
Right? I know. And that's the thing that bothers me is if it was just Mahomes throwing interceptions, that's one thing. But it's the fumbles, too. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill doesn't normally fumble. And Clyde having two fumbles in two games.
Although I will say this, I like the way that he recovered. He started covering up a lot at the end, second half of that game after that fumble. Like, I feel like he understands what a concern is. So I'm not worried about it going forward. I don't see it becoming like a pattern that repeats itself over and over and over.
Yep. Okay. And I would agree with that. So what is your key?
For me, it's honestly for Spagnuolo. It's not for the players. He's got to simplify this defense and get the calls to the point where they can be executed. He has to come up with a plan. He talked about this week about it was part of his relaying things to Hitchens that slowed the process down, that got them caught in some of that hurry up. And I expect every team to try to do that now that they saw it be successful by the Chargers. I expect that from Jalen Hurts. Yep. And so maybe there's even just a safety valve, depending on personnel, that you just have a single word call. Maybe it's Hawkeye, and that's what you do when you don't have enough time. Whoever's here, man up, take your deep zone, a cover two shell over the top of everything and just try to man it. But it's got to be simplified. It's got to be quicker into the huddle. And it's got to be something that doesn't cause whatever the rules are, whatever the confusion is between the five guys in the secondary, and there will always be five guys. There could be six. I don't think we're going to see four in the secondary this week, but it's got to be something where they don't have to check with each other every five. There's not that pre-snap confusion that we've been seeing. So for me, it comes down to the number one key is the coordinator to fix the way that he's setting up the defense.
I can't argue with that. What I will say, though, is you start looking, for me, another key would be offensively, they have to put points on the board, and I'm not talking field goals, I'm talking touchdowns. This team is so good on offense, and they have been so bad the past couple of weeks at putting points on the board when they need to. And part of it's turnovers, part of it's silly, stupid mistakes. They're getting them in their own way, and it goes beyond just turning the ball over. Stupid penalties that set them back, and stupid decisions. You have to get past that. You are a defending Super Bowl, sorry, not the defending Super Bowl champion, but you're the defending Super Bowl, the person that lost, I guess, and you won the Super Bowl the year before. There you go. Defending AFC champion. There you go. And you won the Super Bowl the year before. You need to play like it. Mm-hmm. This team is mainly the same. So all of this change and all of these losses early on don't make any sense from that aspect.
For me, my last key is Patrick himself. He told you that probably his worst interception was the one against the Ravens, right? This last one wasn't that far off either. And it comes down to me and folks, if you missed it on RGR on Friday morning, there's a video about decision-making. That's what it comes down. I think Patrick's been forced to not be able to wait out his long developing routes because of the defenses that he's been seeing. We've been talking about it all summer, that everybody's going to play him deep. They certainly are better about that. last week, the Chargers played cover two over the top of man that took everybody away. And it's about the decision point that you make in order to salvage a play and not forcing it, like the little jump passes, like the no looks when you don't have to, that kind of thing. I think he's trying to make up for some of the losses of not having three wide receivers on the field that scare the defense, of not having an offensive line that is played together for this. I feel like he's still pushing too much, even though I don't feel like he's pushing it deep. I feel like he's pushing himself to make plays that he doesn't need to. He just needs to relax.
He's put himself under an undue pressure.
Yeah.
And sorry, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but that's where you're going with that. And the other thing is not only is he putting undue pressure on himself, but he's also putting his team in a bad situation, because when he puts pressure on himself like that and he tries to do too much, then you get some of these turnovers like he's had. You know, the one to Marcus Kemp, he hit him in the hands. Yeah, he should have caught it. It was a great pass, no, but can't knock the ball up. Mm-hmm. You know, the interception to against the Ravens the week before, he stepped into pressure and got himself to a point where he couldn't get on the platform to throw, which is extremely rare for him with his arm and his ability. So if they can continue, if he can just do what he is used to doing, I think Kansas City will be fine. I do think that they're still going to win the division. But the question is Mahomes seeing something this year that he's not going to be able to figure out? I'm not betting on that. That's not my bet at all whatsoever. Andy Reid has been around long enough, and Mahomes is smart enough. They will get this figured out. They will get everything going the right direction again. And maybe they don't get back to the AFC Championship game this year, or maybe they don't get back to the Super Bowl this year. That's possible. But right now, you're just hoping to have a chance to win the division.
Right, yeah. Right now, it's right the ship, get on the right course again. And I think that they do that this week. For me, it comes down to who makes bigger plays. And as much of a Hurts fan and have been in his corner from this point, like what their offense has in a couple of places, I don't think that they have to keep up with the Chiefs offense, especially if the Chiefs limit their mistakes. So in the end, I think the Chiefs do win this one. I'm going to call it 34-24.
You're being more generous than I would be. I would like to see 35-21. I'm afraid it's going to be 35-27. And my main fear in that regard is that Reed still has not learned to put his foot on somebody's neck and just stomp it out. And not trying to be violent or anything, but it's what you have to do in this league. You have to keep taking it to a team until the game is over. And he doesn't do that, and it's cost them in multiple times. You know, honestly, I think it cost them a little bit against Baltimore. I think if they would have kept the pedal to the metal and done what they continue to be successful with at Baltimore, I think that they win that game. And then they're sitting at 2-1 instead of, you know, 1-2.
Well, we will see. We'd like to know your predictions, folks. Put them down here in the YouTube comments. Make sure you like, sub, and hit that bell as well. And if you're over on iTunes or Spotify or using the audio feeds, if you leave us an iTunes review, an Apple Podcast review, sorry, I still say iTunes, we would very much appreciate that. We want to get feedback on what you think of the video and what you think of the podcast as we move forward into the season. We appreciate your time and hope you're looking forward to this one. Enjoy Friday. Thanks for making us your first listen. If you would go find another one, again, Locked On NFL Draft's a good option for your second listen today. We would appreciate it. We will have something for you post-game as we go through our breakdown with Matt Derrick. Hope that you guys have a great one, and we will talk to you then.